Dime Roberts Stage and Studio. Today, Susanna Mars of the Adventures in Artslandia podcast talks with award-winning playwright E.M. Lewis about her upcoming five-hour epic play, Magellanica, directed by Damaso Rodriguez. It opens at Artist Repertory Theater on January 20th and runs through February 18th. Find out more about the play at artistrep.org and more about Artslandia at artslandia.com. And at the last of the show, we'll hear about some Fertile Ground Festival offerings. The 11-day New Works Festival starts January 18th and runs until the 28th. Find out more at fertilegroundpdx.org. And now, here's Susanna Mars of Artslandia.
Why do we sound so good? Because we're at Dead Aunt Thelma's studio and Mike Moore is engineering for us. Thanks, Dead Aunt Thelma's. Thanks, Mike. I am sitting across from E.M. Lewis, an award-winning playwright, teacher, and librettist. You're writing an opera right now?
I am.
And her work has been produced around the world and published by Samuel French. And I thank you so much for coming and talking to me about Magellanica.
I am delighted to be here with you, Susanna. Thank you for having me.
Yes, my pleasure. Last time I spoke to you, you were producing The Gun Show.
Yes.
Which had a beautiful life and traveled all over and continues to.
We had a wonderful production at Coho, directed by Sean Lee and starring Vin Chambry, mm-hmm. who is the kind of actor everybody wants to work with. He mm-hmm. is just a gift. And after that production here in Portland, we took that show on tour to the East Coast first stage in DC, and then to Edinburgh Fringe Festival for the whole month of August in Scotland.
What was that like?
Oh, it was amazing.
It looked like it. I watched you on Facebook.
We kept taking pictures because it is the most beautiful city. And to share that Oregon and American story with an international audience was an extraordinary opportunity. And we were helped by, we had a wonderful grants from Bob Conklin, from Ronnie LaCroute, from Oregon Arts Commission and RAC grant that all helped support our taking the show there. So, and now Vin is in my new show.
Right. Which is so fantastic. Yes. I mean, takes us very easily to the next subject at hand, which is Magellanica, which is an incredible piece. And because I'm on part-time staff at Artist Rep, I've had the pleasure of watching and hearing about how the staff at Artist Rep is helping to bring it to life. It's a very complicated piece. Not only the story is set in Antarctica, but it's five parts. There are three breaks and a dinner break. And just to bring a piece of that magnitude to stage is an incredible undertaking. When peace came to you, was it always that epic a scale?
Yes, which was terrifying because I'd never written anything that big. Most of my plays, and Magellanic was probably about my 10th full-length play. Most of the plays that I'd written before then, whether they had four characters or 15, 90 minutes straight through without intermission.
Oh, interesting. You never had had an intermission before?
Not really, not on purpose. It had just the rhythm of the plays, and that's not because I went out searching to write in that particular form. It's just that that felt right for the stories that I was telling. And I feel like always you should follow that. You know, how does the story itself want to be told instead of trying to impose a cookie cutter onto it? So it was a little daunting when this idea came to me that from the outset was bigger. It was eight characters, which is kind of a lot for now. Days on the American stage. And more than that, I had an instinct from the very beginning that this was going to be five parts and across a much greater span of time. And so the first wondering was, can I do this? Should I do this? Do I have the right to take up this much real estate in the universe?
Oh, that's a thing.
It is a thing.
Right. Oh, that's so fascinating. So what was the idea that first, you know, kindled the beginning?
Well, it's always hard to put your finger on the specific origin story of a play because it's more of a gathering. You have this bit and that bit and then this bit and that bit, and then suddenly the play is rushing into your body. But I can tell you some of the bits.
That would be great.
I had thought that I was going to write a play about Alaska because I've been to Alaska, and it is an extraordinary place. It is far. It is extreme weather, and it's a place where a lot of people go to get away from the world for a whole variety of reasons and create a new community in that place. And so that was intriguing to me, all of those qualities that Alaska brought to it. And so I wrote... I did write a play about a woman who wanted to go to Alaska called Goodbye Ruby Tuesday. And so time went on and I just kept that simmering at the back of my mind. And then I read an article about a woman by the name of Dr. Jerry Nielsen. And it was an article that was about her wintering over at the South Pole Station in Antarctica. And while she was there, fairly early on during the 8.5 month winter over, she found out that she was very ill.
I remember reading this.
It was in all of the news.
Incredible.
And they couldn't get her home because you can't get people home during a winter over at the South Pole Station in Antarctica because the weather is so cold and the conditions are so extreme. It's 8.5 months of darkness and the most extreme cold that you've ever imagined. And I didn't know before I read about her story that there was any place on Earth that you couldn't get to and back again in some kind of reasonable amount of time. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, Antarctica was everything. Mm-hmm. And the stories that have happened in Antarctica often involve science. There's a lot of fascinating scientific research that is being done there. And I like science. I like history. I've written frequently about both. And so one of the extraordinary things that has happened in Antarctica was the discovery of the hole in the ozone layer. Mm-hmm. And once that piece fell into place, then the play launched itself. And these eight characters arrived in my head and the story began.
So tell us a little bit about these characters. Oh, I mean, I was so lucky to be at the first read and I just love these people.
Can you believe these actors, too?
Yes.
We have eight of the best actors in Portland, bar none. They are my favorite actors in the universe right now. They have been working so hard to bring my characters to life.
Right. And so many people haven't had the privilege of being in a rehearsal experience. It's so much fun to go to work.
It is.
I mean, I guess there have been times when it hasn't been, but more often than not, it really is. And to be working on something that's so rich and also epic, the epic length and what you're trying to accomplish and they're trying to accomplish. It's just a beautiful collaborative process.
It's been great. Mm. It has been fantastic. Artists Rep is the most wonderful place to work. These are...
And Damaso Rodriguez is...
Pros.
Directing.
He is. And he and I hadn't worked together before, although I'd known him since our Los Angeles days and admired his work both there and here. Mm-hmm. But no, he's been great. Well, the characters who populate my play are scientists and engineers, who are a lot of the people who do go to Antarctica. Mm-hmm. It is a fictional play inspired by real events. Mm-hmm. So really, truly, in 1985-86, the hole in the ozone layer was discovered in Antarctica and began to be unpacked, that idea by scientists. What is this? Where did it come from? Why is it here? What do we do about it? Mm-hmm. And for a lot of reasons, I chose to go fictional instead of non-fictional with this story. Partly so I could make the story a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It felt from the outset like it wanted to be about the whole world. And so I needed to populate my station with something that looked like the world.
Right.
And
it's an international group of humans.
And so because this is the 80s and it's still the Cold War, although the Cold War went through so many iterations, but this was the Ronald Reagan Star Wars pre-Berlin Wall falling era of the Cold War. So at the center of the play is the question of this hole in the ozone layer, and it's being fought over by Dr. Morgan Halstead, an American climatologist, and Dr. Vadik Chapayev, a Russian climatologist.
And the Russian is played by
Michael Mendelsohn.
Michael Mendelsohn. And the American is played by
Sarah Hennessy.
Yes.
And they are just suspicious of each other. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to make of each other.
Wow, Russia and America, really?
It's amazing. Well, it is amazing, actually.
It just continues.
It does. Well, and I had no idea when I started writing the play some of the ways in which it would be topical now that we are doing the play.
So
Russia
strange.
Being one.
Well, and then the ozone layer, I read the other day that the hole in the ozone layer is shrinking.
Isn't that exciting?
It is.
It's
proof
that our interventions have worked.
Right.
Which is part of the story.
Yes, it's so fascinating.
So those two are definitely in direct conflict with each other and trying to figure out this central scientific question. But as you mentioned, Alan Noss, the previous artistic director of Artists Rep and a longtime beloved Portland actor, is playing the Bulgarian cartographer Todor Kozlik. And I tell you, he just brings such beauty and intelligence and magic to that role, which is very important because the role of this cartographer navigates us through the play in some very particular ways.
Oh, I like that idea, the map.
Cartography has been a whole exciting rabbit hole that I've fallen down.
Oh, I imagine. I mean, because you think of it as being pretty cut and dry, but now with I remember reading an article years ago about how we've been taught that the world looks and the way land masses and that how we've been that actually there's some political challenges and controversies embedded in how maps are drawn for the public.
Absolutely. There's actually a wonderful West Wing clip if you Google it. In a scene in which three cartographers come to the White House and tell them that all the maps are wrong and this is the one that they should be using. It's worth looking up.
I will look it up.
Because it's both funny and smart in
right.
the way that, you know, Aaron Sorkin often is.
Mm-hmm.
And makes you realize that the things you think you know aren't always true.
Yes.
And I'm a person who's a fan of big questions.
Oh,
and so.
I could not agree more. So back to the characters.
Back
we
to
digress.
The characters. Indeed. next I'll go to Vin Chambry, who's playing Captain Adam Burrell. He is from the Army Corps of Engineers. He is a Vietnam veteran. And he is... this character is in charge of this unruly batch of scientists. He's responsible for their care and feeding and making sure they make it through when they don't have any idea how to survive this 8.5 months of winter in this extraordinary place. And he's brought his own demons back with him. Mm-hmm. And as often happens when you are locked together with places, relationships build, friendships and
rivalries,
mm-hmm. love stories, mm-hmm. all of those kinds of things happen in this little crucible.
Well, it's so interesting because binge watching various series has become mm-hmm. a thing. You know, people, oh, gotta watch this and, you know, watch 12 episodes. I spent the weekend watching, you know, Netflix. And I've always loved plays on this scale. Angels in America, adore.
Angels.
Cider House Rules, adore. Get me in that room. I enjoy it. There's something about being in a room for an extended period with the breaks. And you're going to have a dinner break as well.
We are.
And there are choices in how you can see the piece. You can see one part one day and another part another day. Or you can go for the full meal deal, which would always be my choice. How, as you said, taking up real estate, how have you moved through that question for yourself? You know, is there some sense of fear that people are going to leave, that they're not going to want to stay with these people for an extended period of time?
Well, there's always a question when you write something. It is a bold thing to do, to be a creative person and to plant your flag out there in the universe and say, I made something.
And it's something I think is valuable and I want people to see it.
Absolutely. I'm here to tell you a story. And here it is. Nobody asked me to write a 5.5-hour play. This was not a commission. This was not a request. When I wrote it, there was no surety that anyone would produce it. Mm-hmm. And that artist's rep said yes. And not only yes, but yes, and we are going to throw every resource we can gather at this huge play because we believe in it. Mm-hmm. We are going to embed it in a season of absolutely beautiful, bold plays by playwrights who I'm honored to be in a season with, and we are going to double down on this. That helped.
Well, the requirements of a play, there are only 18 journeys. And
yes,
the requirements of the patrons getting a ticket, then ordering their meal.
Yes.
Wanting to, figuring out how to do it. It's a big deal. And the scheduling,
definitely.
The rehearsal process required much more time.
Absolutely.
And at a time where everyone is producing much smaller work.
Everybody wants that two-character play that happens minutes. On a couch.
Right, right.
But some questions are bigger than that. And I did think a lot about Angels in America as I was writing this play, because I think it's so beautiful and smart and bold, and it's about so many things. And so I let it give me courage when I was asking my big questions. Big questions have been asked by playwrights, and how joyful it was for me to be an audience member in his audience, sitting there listening to Tony Kushner's questions and his characters wrestle with big ideas.
Literally and figuratively wrestling.
Indeed.
So beautiful.
So sometimes you can't ask permission. You have to make bold choices. You have to slide further out on the ice. I know. How literal is that for right now? This winter play of mine. Mm-hmm. But dare. Mm-hmm. We have to dare. Or what are we doing here?
Right. And I feel that a play that, as you said, Angels in America and Magellanica and other plays that really open a door for myriad questions versus one event and one... That's real life. How can we pretend that there isn't...
It's all tangled together.
A huge mosaic.
History, science, personal questions of the human heart. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I will say that I kept in my head the whole time that I was writing was that if I'm going to take up this real estate in someone's day who is going to come to my enormous play, it's got to be fun.
Right.
It's got to be an adventure. Mm-hmm. And at its heart, I think that there's science in it, there is history in it, there's music in it, there's a love story, there's all of this. It is hopefully a rollicking yarn about a place that has been fascinating since we first went there. Mm. I mean, if you've read about Scott and Amundsen and Shackleton and Byrd, some of those early explorers, those are extraordinary journeys, and they're so exciting to read about. And I wanted to infuse this story with that kind of excitement so that you are getting scientific questions, but also personal questions of, oh, what is that character doing? You know, what is William Huffington's big secret? What is Freddie De La Rosa? Is he doing there? Is he going to be able to fix the telescope, or is all going to be lost, as also might happen? Why is there a Norwegian ornithologist on the station here? What is May Zoe going to survive this long winter, especially with the news that she finds out? So I wanted to have little human questions and bigger human questions that carry us forward through the play. And I hope I've done that.
Well, and it's so fascinating, too, because in contemporary society, I think us human beings don't necessarily believe that, as you said earlier, there are places where you can't just snap your fingers and leave.
You're locked in there. One of the characters, as the winter gets deeper and deeper and darker, talks about what it's like, that experience, and it's so cold. The darkness has been pressing in, and he says we're locked in. It's like a tin can set on the ice, and we can't go outside. And that's Lars, my naturalist, my ornithologist, who's always in nature. And he says, I didn't realize that there would be no nature here. There is, but I can't touch it. It doesn't fly. It's there's no life here in this extreme, extreme cold. And so, but locked there, they find out a lot about themselves and each other.
It's amazing. It's just been so much fun to see it come to fruition. You know, I was in the building yesterday and people coming in and out about just having so much fun. And it's obviously hard work and endurance necessary. And
the designers are doing amazing work. I didn't talk about them yet.
Yes.
They're in there painting the walls as we speak, moving the set in.
Oh my gosh, it must be so much fun to see your world come to fruition.
Oh, I can't tell you how exciting it is to have a world in your head and characters in your heart and have listened to them speaking to you for so long and then having all of that beginning to be manifest. Rodi Ortega, who is one of the resident artists there at Artist Rep, has written the most beautiful music as well as soundscape because there's a little bit of music in the play sung by Vin Chambray. There is the set design is epic, is epic, and it's in the Morrison, which has been recently redesigned, and so it fits very beautifully, my big play in that big space. It's exciting.
Oh, it sounds just magnificent. The first preview is on January 20th.
Soon.
And that's right. And it runs through February 18th.
Yes.
It's the world premiere of Magellanica. And if you're interested in getting tickets and learning more about the play, you can go to www.artistrep.org. And I encourage you to take the plunge.
Come to Antarctica with us. It's going to be grand.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for spending time with me, Ellen. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Susanna.
Susanna Mars can be heard here on KVU as well as in her Adventures in Artslandia podcast at artslandia.com. Before we go today, I want to highlight some of the shows in the 11-day New Works Festival called Fertile Ground, running January 18th to the 28th, and you can see the full schedule at fertilegroundpdx.org. 4x4, a collection of 1x, is presented by PDX Playwrights on January 21st at 5 p.m. and January 28th at 7 p.m. at the Hipbone Studio at 1847 East Burnside Street in Portland. A lunchtime reading of Petite Dames or Petite Dames, written and directed by Josie Seed and presented by Linestorm Playwrights, is happening on January 22nd at noon at Artist Repertory Theater. That's located at 1515 Southwest Morrison Street in Portland. The play follows a family of African-American women in Louisiana after the Civil War. Other Linestorm readings include Grand Junction by Rich Rubin at noon on January 19th, Out of the Blue by Miriam Fader on January 24th, and How the Light Gets In by E.M. Lewis on January 25th. All noontime readings are free and at Artist Repertory Theater. The world premiere of Sex We Can, An Erotic Uprising, is directed by Eleanor O'Brien, and the show is called A Movement, A Crusade, and a Live Performance. It runs January 25th, 26th, and 27th at 8 p.m. during the Fertile Ground Festival, and then continues February 1st at 8 p.m., February 2nd at 9:30 p.m., and on the 9th and 10th at 8 p.m., and February 14th at 8:30 p.m. All shows are at the Clinton Street Theater, located at 2522 Southeast Clinton Street. And for Portlanders, there is a world premiere of a play about blues legend Paul DeLay. It's called Just This One, and it's written by Wayne Harrell, with music and lyrics by Paul DeLay. Festival dates are January 27th at 7:30 p.m. and January 28th at 4 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Shows are at Michelle's Piano Company, that's located at 600 Southeast Stark. That's just a sampling of what's going on during the Fertile Ground Festival, and you can find out more about it and other shows at fertilegroundpdx.org. And a final shout out for the play I'm involved in with Media Rights Theater Diaspora, the staged reading of The Brothers Paranormal by Thai American playwright Prince Gomovilas is this weekend. It's the story of two Thai American brothers who work as ghost hunters for an African American couple. It's directed by Reed College professor Kate Duffley and features live music by international musician Joe Kai. January 19th, the show sold out. The other shows are January 20th at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. and January 21st at 2 p.m. All shows are at PSU's Lincoln Hall Boiler Room Theater on the Broadway Street side, located at 1620 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. The playwright, Prince Gomovilas, holds a free playwriting masterclass on Saturday, January 20th at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tickets and registration are available at brownpapertickets.com. That's it for Stage and Studio. We had music from Portland musician Clark Salisbury. If you missed any of the show, visit kboo.fm/stageandstudio and find out all about Susanna's Adventures in Artslandia podcast at artslandia.com. And don't forget to like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet me at @stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts.